Tonight, the stunning, deadly shooting on a movie set now under investigation. Actor Alec Baldwin's first comments about the tragedy. Baldwin firing a prop gun during filming in Santa Fe, describing his shock and sadness over accidentally killing director of photography Halyna Hutchins and wounding the director. The gun supposed to be loaded with blanks. Questions now about safety protocols, crew members walking off the set, and at least two accidental discharges in the last week. And we're now hearing the 911 calls for help moments after the shooting. Kaylee Hartung is in Santa Fe. Major news tonight about COVID vaccines and children. Data showing Pfizer's vaccine nearly 91% effective against symptomatic illness in children 5 to 11. FDA advisors meeting next week to consider authorization. Also tonight, more than 70 million Americans now eligible for boosters of every vaccine available in the U.S. The Supreme Court tonight refusing to immediately block the Texas abortion law, banning almost all abortions in the state. The justices agreeing to hear arguments on November 1st. The White House and Democrats inching closer to a deal to pass President Biden's nearly $2 trillion spending plan. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi at the White House today saying it's more than 90% done. The president revealing what's still in and what's been cut out. Rachel Scott on the Hill tonight. The major university suspending a fraternity over allegations of sexual assault and reports of drugging drinks at parties. Your money tonight, rising prices at the store and at the pump. The average household spending an extra $175 per month. The price of gas up $1.20 from a year ago. How long until prices are expected to go back down? Walmart tonight recalling an aromatherapy room spray linked to a rare, potentially deadly bacteria. Two reported deaths possibly tied to the spray, the CDC now investigating. And the incredible rescue, millions cheering the video of a dog pulled from the open ocean off the Florida coast.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening. It's great to have you with us on a busy Friday night. I'm Whit Johnson in for David. And we begin with that deadly movie set tragedy. Actor Alec Baldwin firing a prop gun, killing the movie's cinematographer and wounding the director. Tonight, the production has been halted and the investigation is underway. Baldwin is one of the producers of the Western called Rust, filming in the desert on the outskirts of Santa Fe, New Mexico. The projectile striking the director of photography, Halyna Hutchins, who was airlifted to the hospital but did not survive. She leaves behind a husband and a son. The director, Joel Souza, also wounded but treated at the hospital and released. Images of a distraught Alec Baldwin after the incident. Today he tweeted, "There are no words to convey my shock and sadness," and saying he had reached out to Hutchins' husband. Tonight, amid the grief, we're learning the crew had complained about safety on the set, saying there were at least two accidental discharges in the last week. ABC's Kaylee Hartung leads us off in Santa Fe.
Tonight, the urgent investigation into that horrifying movie set shooting. Police say Alec Baldwin firing a prop gun, accidentally killing a cinematographer and injuring the director during the production of the Western Rust. For the first time, we're hearing the chilling 911 calls.
We had two people accidentally shot on a movie set by a prop gun. We need help immediately.
In another call, the person describing the chaos on the set.
This AD that yelled at me at lunch because asking about revisions. He's supposed to check the guns. He's responsible for it.
Late today, a crew member telling ABC News almost the entire camera department walked off the set just hours before the shooting, saying the issue of gun safety had been brought up by the camera crew and brushed off repeatedly by producers. Also saying because of the film's small budget, they were cutting corners. The movie's producers reportedly left scrambling and reportedly bringing in several non-union replacements. ABC News obtaining an email from an entertainment union, Local 44, to its members, saying a single live round was accidentally fired from a prop gun. But investigators have not confirmed that, or who handed the gun to Baldwin. The projectile striking and killing 42-year-old cinematographer Halyna Hutchins, widely regarded as a rising star in the industry, and wounding director Joel Souza in the shoulder. Baldwin seen here doubled over in agony moments after being questioned by police, breaking his silence today, tweeting, "There are no words to convey my shock and sadness," saying he's fully cooperating with the investigation, adding his heart is broken and he's in touch with Halyna's grieving husband. A source telling ABC News, Hutchins' husband Matthew, says Baldwin has been very supportive. A witness reportedly telling Showbiz 411 that moments after the shooting, Baldwin kept saying, quote, "In all my years, I've never been handed a hot gun." It's been nearly 30 years since a similar tragedy claimed the life of actor Brandon Lee, son of Bruce Lee, during filming of the movie The Crow. He was shot with a prop gun that had a live round of ammunition lodged inside. ABC News obtaining the industry standard safety bulletin emphasizing blanks can kill. Treat all firearms as though they are loaded. Live ammunition is never to be used nor brought onto any studio lot or stage.
There are lots of checks in place.
One Hollywood armorer explaining the safety and security of prop weapons are their responsibility, outlining the strict protocols followed on movie sets.
Nowadays, all weapons are checked, the barrels are checked before any blanks are put into the weapon. There are lots of other protocols in place, including actor training beforehand.
Hutchins posting this video on Instagram just days before the tragedy, showing her and the crew on horseback on the set.
This was like something terrible went wrong that should not have gone wrong.
So many questions about how this happened. Kaylee Hartung joins us from outside the sheriff's office in Santa Fe tonight, where witnesses are being questioned. And Kaylee, you're learning more about the safety issues crew members said they experienced on set and the potential red flags before this tragedy.
Yeah, that's right, Whit. We're learning there were at least two accidental discharges of that prop gun on the set in the past week. One experienced industry professional telling me it is unfathomable how live ammunition could make it anywhere near a set. No charges have been filed yet here, but the DA is not ruling that out, Whit.
And that investigation just getting underway. Kaylee, thank you. We move now to the pandemic and the battle to protect children. Pfizer reporting its vaccine for children 5 to 11 years old is nearly 91% effective against symptomatic illness. Pfizer also reporting their study found the vaccine was safe with no cases of a rare heart inflammation side effect known as myocarditis. The FDA meeting next week, too, to consider authorization. The company's vaccine already in production, including smaller doses, smaller vials for the younger children. Also tonight, more Americans rolling up their sleeves to get booster shots after the CDC officially endorsed Moderna and Johnson & Johnson boosters for certain age groups and said it's okay to mix and match them. Here's ABC's Ariel Reshef.
With vaccinations of younger children expected within weeks, tonight parents are finally getting their first look at how the Pfizer shot performed in 5 to 11-year-olds.
Stay loose. One, two, three.
The company reporting its trial of more than 2,200 children showed the vaccine was nearly 91% effective at preventing symptomatic disease, and there were no cases of severe illness.
The immune response was wonderful. It was comparable to that seen in 16 to 25-year-olds. We know that it's safe. We know that it produces neutralizing antibodies against the virus.
At one-third of the adult dose, Pfizer saw no cases of myocarditis, a very rare but known side effect which tends to happen more often in young men a few weeks after the second dose.
These several thousand pediatric-aged patients, 5 through 11, have been followed for that period of time and so far have not experienced any myocarditis.
Any other side effects from the vaccine were mild.
Feels good.
9-year-old twins Marisol and Alejandra Gerardo experienced a sore arm and fatigue when they got their vaccine as part of the trial back in March.
I think having now been to school and been able to share this with their friends and talk about it, I think they're now really eager to see their friends vaccinated.
More than 11 million 12 to 17-year-olds have already been vaccinated. Across the country today, a new wave of boosters from Moderna and J&J after that green light from the CDC.
I woke up to the news this morning and it was approved and got right online, made my appointment, came right down.
And now there's flexibility for people who want to mix vaccines, allowing them to choose a different vaccine brand from the one they originally got.
There may be people who have a preference for whatever reason to get something else. We would encourage them to discuss it with their physician or pharmacist to come to the CDC website.
People making those decisions on boosters. Ariel Reshef joins us now. But Ariel, let's go back to children ages 5 to 11 because so many parents are awaiting news on this. That FDA panel is meeting next week. Walk us through the timeline here.
Well, with the FDA panel, we'll meet on Tuesday, and then the CDC is expected to weigh in 1 week after that. So we could see a green light for these 5 to 11-year-olds as early as November 3rd. But keep in mind, it takes 5 weeks for those kids to be fully vaccinated. Whit.
Ariel Reshef, thank you. Next, the Supreme Court refusing to block the Texas law that has banned most abortions in the state. The Biden administration had asked the court to put the law on hold until legal challenges are resolved. So let's bring in ABC's chief Washington correspondent, Jonathan Carl. And John, in a highly unusual move, the court has agreed to an expedited review of this law in just 10 days.
This is the quickest review that the court has granted to any law by far since Bush v. Gore way back in 2000. The court will be looking strictly at that highly unusual mechanism that Texas put in place to enforce the law. As a reminder, here's how it works. The law gives any citizen the power to sue anybody that they say aids or abets an unlawful abortion, from the doctor who performs the procedure to the Uber driver that drives a woman to the clinic. If they win, they would get a bounty of at least $10,000. Justice Sonia Sotomayor has issued a dissent in this order, raising objections to the fact that the court hadn't immediately thrown out the law. She wrote, quote, "Women seeking abortion care in Texas are entitled to relief from this court now. Because of the court's failure to act today, that relief, if it comes, will be too late for many." But Whit, it's important to point out that even the conservatives on the court have raised doubts about the constitutionality of this Texas law.
And so many watching this case very closely. John, thank you. Sure. Next tonight, Democratic leaders say they are close to a deal on President Biden's sprawling domestic agenda, covering everything from early childhood education to the fight against climate change. Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying, quote, "More than 90% is agreed to." The president pulling back the curtain on the negotiations as well. ABC's Rachel Scott is at the White House tonight.
Tonight, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says negotiations are in the home stretch.
I would say that more than 90% of everything is agreed to.
The president cutting the price tag from $3.5 trillion to just under $2 trillion and dropping proposals like tuition-free community college, all in an effort to bridge the divide between progressives in the House and moderates in the Senate.
When you're in the United States Senate and you're a president of the United States and you have 50 Democrats, every one is a president. Every single one.
Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona now forcing her party to back away from one of its signature campaign promises to pay for the sweeping new programs by raising taxes on big corporations and the wealthy.
She says she will not raise a single penny in taxes on the corporate side and or on wealthy people, period. And so that's where it sort of breaks down.
Today, I asked the White House, what's plan B?
Can this package be paid for without a corporate tax increase?
Yes, absolutely. But there are different corporate tax increases in here. We can also close loopholes for high-income Americans, and we can crack down on wealthy tax cheats.
The president says his party is down to the remaining four or five issues. He is optimistic that they will get there, but he has made it clear to Democrats that he wants them to reach a deal on this by the end of next week before he heads off to Europe for a global climate summit. Whit.
Rachel Scott at the White House. Thank you. Next tonight, the University of Southern California has temporarily suspended a fraternity over allegations that women were drugged and sexually assaulted at their house. USC public safety logs show at least six incidents of drugging were reported at Sigma Nu in the last month. The LAPD has joined the investigation now. ABC's Will Carr is there.
Tonight, outrage is quite literally written on the walls of the Sigma Nu fraternity house at USC. Students posting signs of protest.
It's a message to people that this matters, and I just hope that people come and they read the signs and they see the frustration and the anger.
Authorities now investigating multiple reports of assault inside. According to a USC Department of Public Safety log, from September 27th to October 20th, six different incidents of alleged drugging were reported at the fraternity, at least one involving an alleged sexual assault.
USC needs to make a statement. I think the frat needs to be shut down and removed from campus.
LAPD launching an investigation involving four alleged victims. In a statement, USC saying it's received reports of drinks being spiked at a party, leading to possible drug-facilitated sexual assaults. In recent months, fraternities at other big universities, including Northwestern and Missouri, facing similar allegations.
Tonight, with that crowd and those protest signs growing behind me, USC has temporarily suspended the fraternity. It's unclear how long that will last for. The university tonight says that it is committed to fostering a safe environment for all of the students here. Whit.
All right, Will, thank you. Next tonight, your money. As we report on the supply chain crisis, more companies announcing a rise in prices tonight and the new estimate of how much more it's costing American households each month. A big component of that, the price of gas, now at a seven-year high. Here's ABC's transportation correspondent, Gio Benitez.
Tonight, consumer prices soaring.
The prices here just keep going up, and it's unpredictable if they're going to have what you even need.
The typical American household now spending an extra $175 a month on housing, groceries, and gas, says one key expert.
That's what they need to pay more today to buy the same amount of things that they were buying about a year ago.
Major companies facing rising costs now expecting to charge more. Like Nestle, the world's largest food and beverage company. Unilever, maker of Dove soap and Ben & Jerry's. Procter & Gamble, from grooming products to diapers. And Danone, maker of yogurts and plant-based milks, even Evian water. Inflation shooting up by 5.4% in just a year. That supply chain crisis taking center stage. Gas prices also rising to their highest point in 7 years. At some stations in California, over $5 a gallon.
Much of the reason is the continued rise in the price of oil, which is going up as demand globally continues to rise, partially due to an energy shortage overseas.
With the steepest prices of the year are expected just before the holidays, when millions will be hitting the road. Whit.
Something to watch in the days ahead, Gio. Thank you. Now to a parade of storms slamming the West Coast. Three storms, the third one a so-called bomb cyclone, sending an atmospheric river of heavy rain toward the shore. This satellite image here showing the trio of swirling storms there. The third one there on the left, set to reach California on Sunday. The first of those storms already striking San Francisco, flooding and downing trees. ABC's senior meteorologist Rob Marciano is in Los Angeles. And Rob, that bomb cyclone could be one of the strongest for the Pacific Northwest.
Could be in that spot historically as well. I mean, the atmosphere here in the West has really shifted into high gear, Whit, and we've got that slew of storms in the Pacific. Here are the three we're looking at. The two first two will kind of combine tonight, and that will bring another round of rain into the West. But that third one, that will rapidly intensify, or we bomb it out, which means it'll drop in the millibars. It could bring some damaging winds to Seattle and Portland, but it sets up that atmospheric river for California. Could see 3 to 8 inches of rainfall. Mudslides, a very big concern there into parts of Oregon with those high snow levels. And that energy also will bring a threat for severe weather in the Midwest come Sunday and slide in some cooler temperatures in the East late weekend. Whit?
All right, Rob, thanks. We'll see you tomorrow on GMA. When we come back here, the urgent recall room spray linked to a rare, potentially deadly bacteria, and remembering a beloved actor and Tom Hanks' former co-star.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Walmart tonight recalling a spray linked to a rare, potentially deadly bacteria. The company pulling nearly 4,000 bottles of Better Homes and Gardens Aromatherapy Room Spray. as CDC investigating four confirmed infections, including two deaths. Customers urged to stop using the spray immediately. Do not throw away the bottle. It should be double bagged in plastic bags and then returned to Walmart. To the index now, an Emmy-winning actor, Peter Scolari, has died following a two-year battle with cancer. Best known for his role in the 1980s sitcom Bosom Buddies next to Tom Hanks, the show helping launch their careers. They remained friends and worked together several times over the decades. Peter Scolari was 66 years old. Finally tonight, America Strong. Zuko the sea dog rescued while dog paddling off the Florida coast.
Tonight, the incredible rescue at sea, warming hearts across the country. The video getting more than 11 million views on TikTok. A group of friends on a boat ride spotting a dog paddling in the middle of the ocean. No owner in sight.
Grab him.
Diving in, pulling him to safety, shaking it off, tail wagging, and okay.
He has a collar, for sure.
The friends, a half mile off Fort Lauderdale's coast, checking his collar, calling his owners, keeping him safe in their arms until they get back to dry land. It turns out he's a Jack Russell named Zuko, and he jumped off a boat about an hour before. The owners still searching for him up the coast. And this is the moment they were reunited.
They saved my little puppy and saved me and my family, you know, a huge heartbreak.
Tonight, Zuko's family sending us these videos of him at home, eating treats, the vet saying he's okay. And this is Zuko in his brand new bright orange life jacket, easy to spot for his next boat ride. Tonight, those friends, Zuko's rescuers, telling us this day was an incredible reminder to keep persevering even throughout difficult circumstances. It also reminded us to keep an eye out for those around us and lend a helping hand when others are in need.
Well done by those rescuers, and great to see Zuko doing so well. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Whit Johnson in New York. For David and all of us here, have a great weekend and good night.